yourself.
For the record, Mr. Chairman, my name is Randall Burns, Director of the Division of Occupational Licensing.
I'm Steve White with the Department of Law.
Fine. Is there anything that you gentlemen would like to add to Ms. Burke's testimony?
Mr. Chairman, I would just like to, I recognize Representative Davidson's concerns about what's been going on with the fee here. And I would just like to briefly comment on that. Maybe I can clarify. The task force really did know that their task was to come up with a fee for the use, for the granting of a use area. We struggled with that many times, though, and ended up sort of off the track with what was originally in this bill, a head tax on dead animals. That was considered not to be very successful, and in the Resources Committee was changed then to a fee by the guides for by clients. The problem still is, and I think that Susan is correct, we still aren't doing what the Osechek decision asked for, which is to give the state fair compensation for the actual use of that area, and that amendment to number 3 will in fact do that. And amendment number 1 then goes through and deletes, it will certainly make the bill much shorter, it will take out major portions of this bill by eliminating the change to the commercial use permit fee. So in both of those areas we agree and think that that's well-founded. The comment on the change in number 5 in the criteria section, we also supported this time. After much discussion and balancing, I think that we found a legitimate compromise here that still leaves us. Our major concern remains that the only people who, that when this system goes into place, the only people who get light, who end up getting use areas, are guides from the former system. And with the ore that exists there, I think that our concern is still, we don't have that concern, and we have no problem with that language.
Okay, questions for any people on the panel? Representative Davis.
I'm sorry, I missed part of this, Mr. Chairman, and I apologize for that, but where is the ore that you're talking about?
It's on page 2 of amendment number 2, on 5A, between the 5 subparagraph A and B, and there's still, so it still basically is the applicant's experience or knowledge, which was what the language was in the original task force language. That scheme is still in place. So we have no problems with the additional clarification. In fact, we sort of like what they've done to knowledge.
Folks, I'd like to move ahead. I'd like to see if we can wrap this thing up in 5 minutes unless there are serious questions.
Sure.
Representative Davis.
No question.
Okay. I would like a motion to adopt Amendment 1.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we adopt Amendment 1, Amendment 2, and Amendment 3
as amended.
As amended.
Okay. And bang. Amendments 1, 2, and amended Amendment 3. Are there objections? Hearing none. I'll consider that a new committee substitute. Is there a motion to move the bill?
Mr. Chairman, I move to pass 448 from committee with individual recommendations if there's unanimous consent.
Is there objection?
I just have a question to anybody on the panel. The question I have is to the amendment number 2, and I guess it's to the bottom of page 2. Maybe this 5A, the OR and 5A sort of supersede all the other language here about the board giving the awards to the only the qualified applicant that determines the more applicants are qualified to use area permit for use area than there are use area permits available, then they rank all applicants for the use area certainly uses the use area permit there quite a bit. So the criteria for structuring the award will be either A, 5A or 5B, and 5B, if someone's there right now, then they will, of course, have a greater score, I suppose, in whether they qualify than someone that's 5B than 5A.
Chairman?
You know what I'm trying to, where I'm
heading here? Yeah, I think what we wanted to avoid here was tying the board's hands and saying, you have to give 5 points for knowledge and 3 points for experience, or 5 points for experience and 1 point for knowledge, and so on. We wanted to give the board flexibility and to balance and weigh experience and knowledge in whatever way they thought was appropriate in order to make sure that everybody got fair consideration and that you ended up, in their view, with the best qualified people getting these permits. I mean, I can't second guess precisely what they're going to do. My guess is that, I don't know. I mean, I could argue it both ways. I mean, experience as a guide, you know, actually having that kind of experience, or in as assistant guide outfitter, you know, someone who knows how to dress animals and they know how to, you know, determine, you know, which is, you know, if they've got two bears sightable in the gun, which is the better trophy and those sorts of things. Balanced against knowledge of the particular use area and the animals that are there and how long they've lived there and how many babies they have and how many wives they have and all of that sort of thing.
I mean,
it's going to be a balance, and I think our idea was to leave it up to the board to make judgments about how to balance stuff.
I guess, Mr. Chairman, I hate to delay this, but I guess my question is are we setting up a structure which is going to give the board sort of carte blanche? Well, they're going to set it up. Well, of course, the guy with more knowledge of the area, is that's going to be weighted heavier than somebody that has been guiding in Africa for the last 15 years. They can structure it, and then we'll just fall into the same situation. Well, it's unconstitutional because the guy that's all got the hunting lodge out there has got, obviously knows the area better, so he's going to get the area again over someone else.
Steve White and Randall are going to be watching these people like hawks, and they cannot adopt regulations unless the Attorney General's office approves them. I mean, I feel confident that if the board tries to do something screwy and attempts to impose under this law the kind of system that the court held unconstitutional before, that they will be restrained from doing so.
Mr. Chairman, if I might also comment, it isn't just five, that it's all criteria 1 through 8 as well. And I would have shared your concern, Representative Davis, if the OR was not maintained, and it is. So, and in C it says that the board then can balance this however it thinks appropriate given the applicant. And so given that language, I think that we're okay. Otherwise, there were earlier drafts of this without the OR, and I think we would have had a concern. We don't now. We really haven't changed it very much. We've expanded on what those mean, but we still have the options that are there.
Well, nothing against the people at the end of the table that will be working with the board, but we have people dealing with this all the time, giving us assurances that things are constitutional, and then they're found unconstitutional. So,
I
just want to make
sure
we've done the best we can with stacking the deck so that the board's going to be predisposed to pass an unconstitutional.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, we've done everything we can to keep that from happening. I think that's been everybody's primary concern, you know, throughout the whole task force process and in this later review that we've all undertaken.
I'm just trying to
deal with
that because I'm just
curious. Mr. Chairman, this bill is that we're trying to get the best that we can. No one's going to swear to you that if this bill passes, it will survive.
But it will be vigorously defended.
But it will be vigorously defended.
One of the best attorneys in the state.
Well, no.
Okay. Further discussion on the bill.
No, I don't have any objections.
Okay. The motion is to move the bill with individual recs. Is there objection? Hearing none, the bill moves. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Members, be prompt at 5. We're going to prune the list down. We have a
Mr. Chairman, are you adjourned?
We are adjourned, yes.